This is Allie Marshall. I'm talking to Derek Vincent Smith, the producer and composer behind Pretty Lights. Derek performs at Moogfest on October 31st. Here, he talks about releasing music for free, how he gets the particular sounds he likes, and how he's building an analog studio. Tracks on this podcast are High School Art Class and Hot Like Dimes.
Intense touring schedule this year, I sort of came up with the concept of doing three EPs in the year as opposed to like one album that I release near the end of the year. And, you know, in my mind it seemed like that would be a good solution to for as far as releasing music and how it worked with the timing and with my touring and whatnot. So the whole idea was that I'd be able to release more music more often and keep my show fresh with new material, but also maintain that sort of surprise element when I'm releasing records. Because one thing I really don't like to do is write a track and then play it out at shows for a while before I actually release it to the to my fans. Because I don't like to release music and then have my fans be like, "Oh yeah, I heard all that at the show already." I like that. I really enjoy my own. From my own position, like getting music that I've never heard before, even in the live situation. Because I've done been trying to do three EPs and touring all year, it's been pretty much all of my time. It's been a lot of hard work, but I'm nearing completion of the third one, and I feel pretty good about it. It was definitely a massive goal for me to set to try to pull off, and I still have a lot of work to do before my release on the 20th, but I'm feeling good about it, and I think that this one is going to be the best one yet.
On you had decided to release music online for free since you were unknown, but now you're known, so and you're still releasing for free. Was there a point at which you decided you were just going to stick with that?
My whole kind of approach to it is to take it one release at a time. And even though I have put out several records, I've only really been touring and, maybe known for not that long, maybe in the last year is where it's really kind of like picked up. And, that's a good question. At what point I might change the release model or, I'm not really sure. What I do know is that it's worked for me really well up to this point, and that I've been able to, even though I'm giving my music out as a free download, I've still been able to, earn enough revenue and income to support myself and live, comfortably and whatnot. So, I think about that a lot, but for the time being, it's a release model and approach I'm sticking with, at least for the foreseeable future, because not only does it, put the music in more people's stereos and continue to, add to the momentum and sort of the growing of the music, it's kind of just like a new idea, and it creates sort of like a new relationship between fan and artist, and even changes the way that me as the artist thinks about it going into the creation of the music. It kind of like really sort of clean slate. Like, why I'm doing it is because I really just want to, like, make fresh music and make, you know, give my fans something that's, like, original and different and new, and just continue to do that.
Soon I will be done with the trouble of this world, with the trouble of this world. Soon I will be done with the trouble of this world. I'm going home.
Listening to a piece of music, what catches your ear so that you know you want to sample it? And are you able to listen to stuff still, like, just as a fan, or are you kind of hearing everything through the filter of a producer?
No, I mean, I can definitely still listen to music as a fan and enjoy it, and you know, the reason I sample the way I do is because I'm trying to make music that is sort of a combination of the cutting edge and the new sort of electronic styles, but also has the warmth and the timbre of music from past decades. And when it comes down to it, if I want that sound quality, that sort of sound design, what I have to go to old music to actually get the timbres that I want. And so I feel like there's, you know, some confusion or assumption that goes along with people realizing, like, that I use samples in my music. Like I use samples because I don't write music, or because I couldn't, but it's really such the opposite of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a vision of the style and the sound of the music I want to create, and the feeling and sort of everything about it. And so, in order to make that happen, I have to find these timbres and sounds to put, you know, as at least one element of the music I'm producing. And so, it's definitely a very involved and you know, sort of tedious process. I listen to massive amounts of old records just to find the one little guitar note or the one, like, vocal hum or something like that to really, really put them together. And in the productions that I'm working on, I mean, it's not like I sample one record and then put drums and bass and stuff on it and call it my own. I mean, every track is a combination of, you know, more than 10 to 20 different sources of old school sounds to really create something new and different. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, for the future, I have plans to try to make a record that maintains the sound and the style that I've developed without having to go to old vinyl to secure those sounds and those timbres, like I said. But that's a very expensive and involved process. You know what I mean? Like, right now I'm building a studio that's mm-hmm. completely analog, you know, old tape machines. I'm investing in even instruments from the 60s and before, and networking and communicating with musicians and players who have that kind of feel and approach, and, you know.
Stop fronting, you ain't saying nothing. I'm about to make the ill type moves.
Microphones from the from those eras. I'm really trying to create a studio where I can record and get sounds that are similar to the ones that I'm sampling, because it's not like it's, you know, people don't realize, or a lot of people don't realize that I sample it. It's not that I can't, like, go record a guitar sound or record the melody of a guitar I want, but if I do that, I'm not getting the same sound quality and the same feel and everything that's involved in going to like a old vinyl source to get that. So, you know, for after the CP, I'm taking, you know, 3-4 months off at the beginning of next year to really try to manifest that vision and explore the possibilities of creating a record with the same sound and style, but with, you know, a different approach as to how to accomplish that.
Wow. So that's really awesome. It's like you're using all of this really like current and advanced technology to recreate something that's decades old in a way.
Well, you know, that's what I'm doing, right? But I mean, what I'm really trying to do right now is build a studio that has none of the current technology and only all the old stuff. And it's a lot of like eBay surfing and buying old things and getting them repaired. But, you know, for my next record, the aim is to at least in the recording and sound creation phase of it, not use any technology at all that didn't exist before 1972. That's kind of like the cutoff here I put it at. And, yeah, so it's a big experiment, you know, of sorts. But I mean, I've been a fan of producers who have used samples in the past, and I've even heard producers try to do the same thing. But I've never really heard it pulled off in a way that I want to pull it off. You know, people's style ultimately changes and their sound ultimately changes based on, you know, if they're sampling or recording, and I'm really trying to maintain the style but change the approach and you know, even to the point where I'm investing in like a record press, so it's like I'm gonna record the stuff to tape to, you know, old reel to reels, and then press it to vinyl so I can actually sample my own recordings off like old records to really maintain that warmth and that sound quality. Yeah.